It is March 23rd, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. The Securities and Exchange Commission and Gary Gensler decided to play nice with Coinbase and notify them that they soon face an enforcement action tied to its list of potential unregistered securities, Coinbase said in a statement Wednesday. Coinbase disclosed that the SEC alleged the U.S.-based company may be operating in violation of securities laws in the running of its exchange and staking services, CoinDesk reported. This is a couple of days old, but according to a Bloomberg report, MIAX is among the bidders for FTX's Ledger X. Other bidders include Kalshi, the story said. Regulators across the pond in the UK warned US regulators about the risk building at the Silicon Valley Bank in the 18 to 24 months preceding its seizure, Bloomberg reported. Also, SVB was shut down on March 10th by the FDIC for running out of money, something banks are not supposed to do, Bloomberg reported. Texas Senator Ted Cruz has decided he does not like central bank digital currencies, CBDCs, because they would jeopardize American citizens' financial information and pave the way to a potential surveillance state, Decrypt reported. While I agree with Senator Cruz on this aspect of CBDCs, I find it ironic that he is putting more faith in a digital currency he doesn't know who created than one created by his own country's central bank. I also find the concept of surveillance of CBDCs overstated, as 99.99% of my transactions are via debit or credit card or some other electronic transaction already and easily traced by any government agency with authority to do so. Cash transactions are reserved for beggars and the occasional basket at church. Is coffee good or bad for your heart? Well, the Wall Street Journal has a story titled, Coffee and Your Heart, the Impact May Be Different Than You Think. That might answer the question for you. The subheadline is, New Study Finds No Effect of Atrial Contractions, Though There May Be Other Health Impacts. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago during my road trip down to Florida, spring is coming earlier to several states in the U.S. due to an unusually warm winter. Now the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the warm weather is affecting the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. in a story titled, Cherry Blossoms in Washington, D.C. Are Peaking Earlier Than Usual. The subheadline is, National Mall's cherry blossoms could peak as soon as Thursday after an unusually thick, warm winter. Of course, I missed seeing this because I was not in Washington for the CFTC's Technology Advisory Committee meeting yesterday, having been retired from the committee. We all know Ken Griffin has been flipping his Chicago real estate holdings and buying massive homes in New York and Florida, among other locations. Well, the Rockefellers are getting into the flipping game after owning a historic Philadelphia area estate since the 1700s. The Wall Street Journal has the story titled, Rockefeller Family Descendants Sell Historic Philadelphia Area Estate for $24 million. The subtitle of the story is, the roughly 200-acre Chester County property known as Kirkwood Farms dates to the late 1700s. Exchange Analytics has launched a 2023 swap suite for swaps dealers looking to complete their ethics training. The suite includes an intro into swap dealer requirements, swap dealer periodic ethics, and swap dealer marketing supervision requirements. You can click on a link in today's newsletter for more information. The ESG and Climate Risk Summit Europe 2023 is taking place June 7th at 155 Bishopsgate, London. Global ESG assets are expected to reach $53 trillion by 2025, and ESG risk leaders are searching for ways to improve performance related to impact investment decision-making. The risk.net event is for senior risk management and investment strategy decision makers from asset managers, hedge funds, life insurance firms, pension funds, and investment banks. View the agenda and register with a link in today's newsletter for this in-person and online event. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First from Bloomberg. Citi's Fraser warns mobile money is, quote, game changer, unquote, for bank runs. A couple of tweets and a quick end to Silicon Valley Bank. Fraser says only a few banks are hurting. Sees no wider crisis. Citigroup Inc. Chief Executive Officer Jane Fraser said mobile apps and consumers' ability to move millions of dollars with a few clicks of a button mark a sea change for how bankers manage and regulators respond to the risk of bank runs. Fraser said the fast demise of Silicon Valley Bank also made it difficult for banks to assess and prepare bids for its assets. My comment, no more waiting in line to get your money out as long as you have the permission limits to move the amount of money you want to move. What will be the tell for bank runs if you don't have the line at the teller windows? Here's another story from Bloomberg. The headline, Lindsay Lohan accused by SEC of illegally touting tokens. Agency sued crypto mogul Justin Sun, several of his companies. SEC alleged celebrities touted tokens tied to Sun's firm. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission sued crypto mogul Justin Sun for allegedly violating securities rules and said eight celebrities, including Lindsay Lohan and the artist known as Soulja Boy, illegally touted tokens. Lohan and Soulja Boy, whose real name is Deandre Cortez Way, illegally promoted the tokens, Tronix and or BitTorrent, without disclosing compensation, the SEC alleged. My comment. The SEC is just being mean to this girl in what could be a parent trap. I don't expect any confessions from a teenage drama queen or a scary movie, but when they go to arrest her, they better be ready for Herbie fully loaded. Hat tip to IMDb. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Zero-day options boom is turning Wall Street trading on its head. While analysts debate, Wall Street pros face to adjust fast. Market players divided over risks and opportunities of zero DTEs. David Ryde's surefire options trade netted a steady 5% per year for half a decade until last summer when gains began to peter out all of a sudden. Reedy, who had been trading S&P derivatives for 10 years, thinks he knows the proximate cause. The new boom on Wall Street in options that have 0 days to expiration, known as zero DTE. Zero DTE contracts have accounted for 42% of S&P 500's total options trading volume in March, data compiled by Bank of America Corp shows. My comment, yikes, that is a big uptake in the use of these options. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, beware of sensible crypto crowd. They're worse than the fanatics. The straight-laced earnest types threaten to legitimize a high-risk, opaque, and ill-understood industry. This is from Jemima Kelly. Much as it can be enjoyable to poke fun at the crypto bros with their silly memes, irritating acronyms, puerile jokes, and frankly ridiculous ideas about the world, I have to confess, I don't believe they're the main problem. As far as I'm concerned, it's the earnest, straight-laced types who insist that we should all be taking the whole thing terribly seriously who pose the biggest threat to our survival as a rational and prosperous society. Welcome to the plague of what I like to call sensible crypto. My comment, beware of bros in suit jackets. Here's another story, this one from the Miami Herald. Miami coin trading halted after price tanked. Mayor Francis Suarez lost about $2,500. The more time passes, the more Miami coin fails to live up to the hopes its creator and Miami Mayor Francis Suarez had for the branded cryptocurrency. The city didn't create Miami Coin, but in its broader push to brand Miami as a crypto capital, Suarez promoted Miami Coin as a boon to the city that could possibly generate enough revenue to eliminate city taxes. My comment. This is what happens to pioneers. Sometimes they end up short of their destination with arrows in their backs. Here's a story from Fortune. Gerbil banking preceded the Great Depression. We're seeing it again today. The recent action by a consortium of banks to deposit money in First Republic Bank harkens back to an earlier attempt to counter bank runs, the U.S. postal savings system. Banking in the 19th century was notoriously unstable, with bank runs or panics coming all too frequently. By the turn of the 20th century, such runs were almost seasonal, prompting depositors to withdraw in advance of what might be a coming run, thereby, of course, precipitating liquidity crises at banks. This came to a head in the Panic of 1907, the granddaddy of panics, when the banking system collapsed. My comment, this worked so well, the gerbil banking system became ROUS, rodents of unusual size. Here are the top three stories from Wednesday's DLN. Our most read story Wednesday was Bloomberg's JP Morgan traders should get prison for spoofing, US says. Second was an advertisement piece for the CME Group called What Rugby Can Teach Us About the Power of Data by Bruce Blythe in the Wall Street Journal. Third was a three-way tie among the Wall Street Journal opinion piece, The End of Market Discipline for Banks, Business Insider's From $2.5 Million Yachts to $400,000 in DoorDash Bills. Here are Sam Bankman-Fried and other execs' wildest purchases with FTX and Alameda Funds, and Bloomberg's Nick Leeson, former rogue trader, reemerges as a private spy. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, from Bloomberg. Wall Street eases hiring freeze in grab for Credit Suisse talent. Deutsche Bank Goldman scouting Swiss firms, bankers, traders. Credit Suisse takeover gives shot in arm for moribund hiring. Wall Street banks and European rivals are undoing de facto hiring freezes after Credit Suisse Group AG's emergency rescue by UBS AG, unable to resist the lure of top talent available at a discount. Firms such as Deutsche Bank AG, Citigroup Inc., and JP Morgan Chase & Company are readying to hire some of the Swiss firm's investment bankers and wealth managers, people with knowledge of the matter said. Conversations are beginning in New York and London, and some headhunters are even flying to Zurich for meetings, the people said. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. It wasn't just Credit Suisse. Switzerland itself needed rescuing. Crisis threatened an economic model and national identity built on safeguarding the world's wealth. The chairman of Switzerland's largest bank received an urgent call last week. On the other end were three top Swiss officials who delivered an ultimatum dressed up as a proposal. UBS Group AG needed to rescue its failing rival, Credit Suisse Group AG. For any country, it would be a financial emergency. For Switzerland, the stakes verge on existential. Its economic model and national identity, cultivated over centuries, were built on safeguarding the world's wealth. It wasn't just about a bank. Switzerland itself needed rescuing. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. Finance is going back to the age of mercantilism. Regulators will take their cues from governments that prize the promotion of national champions above the protection of a liberal global system. Since the history of financial regulation is a history of crisis management, it is inevitable that the current crisis in the financial sector will bring forth new rules designed to prevent a repeat. Already there is a debate on whether there is a better way to govern banks. On one side are those who think depositors should be protected even more fully. On the other side are those who say bailing banks out leads to moral hazard. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.